I'm Ainsley McClellan in for Sue Smith. You're listening to Home Run. We're on CBC Radio 1, 88.5 FM in Montreal. And today marks the one-year anniversary of the earthquake that devastated Nepal. More than 8,700 people were killed. Thousands of homes across the country were destroyed. And despite promises for more than $4.4 billion in international aid, many people have not yet been able to rebuild. One Quebecer wanted to be there to mark the anniversary. Jeanette Traversy is a trained firefighter and an advanced wilderness paramedic. She's from Dorval, and she got to know Nepal through a couple of family vacations. Last year, right after the earthquake, she traveled to Langol, which is a village about a 30-minute drive west of Kathmandu. Today, she's there once again, and I spoke with Jeanette Traversy a little bit earlier this afternoon. Hello, Jeanette Traversy.
Hello, good morning.
You were in Nepal last year, right after the earthquake. You're there now again. Can you tell us what has changed in the past year?
Yeah, I was a little worried when I came back because I was I followed the village during the whole year. And with all this problem they had during the year, I didn't expect that much. And then, sadly, nothing much has been advanced in here. We have built last year, starting to build before I leave, temporary shelter, and people still living in those conditions. And the temporary shelters are made up of tin, metal. So it's a very, very, the condition of living right now for those people are very difficult. It's about 32 degrees out today, example. And inside the living condition is probably 50. It's very, very hot, poor ventilation. So pretty much difficult for them.
What about things like getting access to clean water, for example, or their access to the outside world in terms of roads? How are things in the area now?
Yeah, in our area, very good. You can get to the city, of course, some of the few roads. Sometimes you have to make a detour of maybe 20 minutes or half an hour. As for the water in this village, was never a very big organization. We have a gravity-fed pipe coming from the mountains, so the water's coming in. There's no running water into the house, so we're going to gather to a center point where everybody go there for washing, for getting their water, for drinking and cooking and do everything.
But the main thing seems to be that the houses still aren't that far along compared to when you were there last year. What has taken so long?
Well, for once in the fall, they have changed the government. So a new government came in. And then since everything in here, we take everything, our food, or that comes from food, gas, propane for cooking, medicine, everything comes from India because it's such a small country. And what happened is India didn't agree with the new constitution, so they create an embargo. So we were not able to get anything. I was wanting to come back earlier, but impossible. Every border to the India was blocked. If you pay some gas, you pay 500% the price in black market. So they had the huge amount of problem all the year until about a month and a half. Now the embargo is in lift. Now we can look forward. We're starting to think, listen, the government has not given any money. Let's start to build. The one who has little money and has saved a little bit of those bricks from falling buildings, then they're starting to build their own right now without government help.
So have people gotten any help, any monetary help from the government, from the Nepalese government?
Barely any. In here, example, whoever in that village, and it did not happen to every village, but in this village in here, everybody who has the total collapsed house, which is about 30, 32, 35 in here, they had received $250. Just as a comparison, a house to be building a very simple, very much basic on what they have, a house will cost between $10,000 to $15,000 US. They receive $250.
And are they going to get more? Are they supposed to get the full amount to rebuild?
That was the story I got from last year again when I left. It's the same story when I come back. Yep, government's supposed to give them $2,000 per collapsed house. $2,000 U.S., as I just saying, doesn't going to give them much, but they need that right now, at least to do half of the house, if it only that, and let's do the four walls and then put a tin roof on it. That at least will be better than all this tin around it. very difficult. And sometimes you think, you know, I've been speaking to Nepalese, so what do you think? Do you believe what he said this time? Oh, yeah, they're going to give us $2,000 over the next 5 years. 5 years. Do you think, did you see yourself living in those 10 house for 5 years? People mainly in here, they start to get desperate, and then they say, you know what, we cannot have any, we don't have any money, so we're going to sell everything. So now you have the prospector coming in, and they want to try to give them a little bit more money for their land so they can sell the land, and of course the promoter just want to make money out of that.
Is there a sense among people that you're talking to that, I mean, we've heard reports of people complaining about corruption, keeping this money from getting to the right hands. What are people saying about that?
Yeah, I've been asking different people, because sometimes you just so much into your own village and you don't see the outside world. So I've been around a little bit asking the same question to the locals and people that I know personally. And they do believe it will be very difficult for them to be taking that money, because it is different. It's not just one government that takes that. They are many parties, and I will assume as the opposition, there's many parties. And before they will distribute that money, they have to go pass through all these different people. So I don't know. Like them, I like to believe that will be hard to be corrupted, but who knows? Like, I mean, that's been a year without having any movement in here. So sometimes you wonder.
We are approaching monsoon season in Nepal. What is that going to mean for the people who are still staying in these temporary shelters, in these tin huts?
Yeah, well, they passed through the first season. Leakage left and right. They managed to put some parts, some tarps, and adjust to it. The big problem is the flooring, right? We didn't put a proper base to the to those houses, because it was temporarily. But now I think I can see that some people start to raise a little bit. They start to reinforce what they have. They have created some very interesting, one in particular, it almost looked like a bunker. It's an adobe house, a very rounded kind of a house made up of, they put some clay and sandbags and just roll and make it round to the top at the it almost looks like a dwarf house. Those houses actually stand up pretty good in there.
But you know of some people, for example, a young couple who are staying in a tent.
Oh, you mean the older couple? Yes, they were the poorest of the village, and when this UK NGOs came in and said, "Who do you think deserves this the best?" All the community voted for that old couple, because they say, yeah, they need a house. They are poor. They don't have any money. We can work a little bit, but they can't. So they donate that house to them. And I see them today. Oh, my God. This is day and night. I think they lessen 20 years of their life. They look nice. They look happy. They're not as worried. Yeah,
so
I'm pretty happy for them.
It seems that you're saying that there's really a sense of, I mean, even though they're struggling with this, that people are supporting each other here.
Oh, my God, yes. And not only supporting into, I mean, of food or anything. Sometimes it's money, right? And some people still sometimes come here and donate money, or asking, what can I do and how can I help? It goes into, I need a uniform for my kid. I don't have any money. Okay, well, let's see how we can do it.
Jeanette Traversy, thanks for sharing these stories with us.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
That is Jeanette Traversy, who is from Dorval. We spoke with her from Langol, Nepal, where she is 1 year after the earthquake, the deadly earthquake that killed nearly 9,000 people and destroyed thousands of homes, and still really slow efforts to rebuild in that country. If you want to hear more about this, you should go online to cbc.ca and check out a story by Sasha Petrusik. I tweeted out the link to that, but it really gets into some of the difficulties that people are facing in trying to rebuild. If you have thoughts, 514 4566-9066.